fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue the theme we've had all week, just talking about the mission of Our Lady, talking about the times we're living in and how to respond to this challenging moment in the history of the church and the history of the world. We are at a kind of tipping point, in my view. There's a real battle going on, a deep spiritual battle, and one of the tipping points is what's going on with the millennial generation in the church today. Bishop Barron speaks a great deal about this, as do many others. What's happening in the millennial generation, but it's happening in throughout every generation right now. There is a turning away from the faith. What we're beginning to see, there's a turning toward by people for sure. There's conversions happening each day. But something very significant and something somewhat unprecedented in the history of our country is happening. What we've seen happen in Europe, which I think would have to fall under the category of apostasy, maybe, friends, literally, we're witnessing the unfolding of the great apostasy that is going to precede the coming of our Lord. I don't know that, but it's something. If this isn't it, it certainly is quite a dress rehearsal that's going on. We've watched Europe, the center of Christianity, Catholicism, for 1,800 years, something like that, collapse. The words of John Paul II, Christendom, he said very clearly. He said Christendom, that is a world in which nations live with a great deal of respect for God and for the church, is now gone. It's collapsed. We see it, again, across Europe. Canada, I think, is in an advanced condition, an advanced state. And the United States is now beginning to experience it at a higher level. With just one example being recent polls talking about the rise of the nuns. I've mentioned that a few times on the program the last number of months, the idea of people saying they no longer have a direct religious affiliation with any particular denomination or church. And back in early 70s, only about 3% of the American population said that they had no religious affiliation. Now, back in 2015, I think the numbers were 25% of our society now says that, which, again, 1970 is only 3%. So 1/4 of our population is saying they no longer have any religious affiliation and either walking away from the faith, creating an image of God that they want to create, certainly walking away from the Catholic Church and other churches in the country. Now, among the millennial generation, that is in their 20s and 30s, the number is about 40%. And among millennials who are baptized Catholic, it's almost 50%. That's a shockwave, man. That's an earthquake. And that we've never seen before. And that's because the culture is so powerfully secular. And it's so living as Psalm 2, in my opinion. In Psalm 2, you know, the nations rage against the Lord. There's a huge battle going on in the culture, and certainly the cultural elite in our society. The siren song that's coming forth from most of them is that, look, let's knock it off with the religion myth, please. It's not real. It's for a time of ignorance. It was a time where people didn't know what we know now. We know so much about everything. We don't have to do the religion thing anymore. So we're going to walk away from that, that smart people don't buy into it anymore. And if you're going to be smart and wise and you're going to be free and happy, you need to be an atheist, at minimum an agnostic. You're certainly not going to get involved in this religious cult of offering sacraments to God and prayers to God and all this kind of stuff. We're beyond that now. Well, that's the attitude. And it's poisonous and it's powerful. Why? Why is it affecting so many? Because I think in the millennial generation, because I think a lot of their parents, a lot of parents are kind of living in the twilight. May not be 100% in the dark. They're certainly not 100% in the light, but they don't know where to stand. And they're divided. And a double-minded man, Scripture says, is unstable in all his ways. And their relationship to the church and devotion to God, to the sacraments, all of that is minimalistic. And as Pope John Paul II said, and the recent popes have said, that we become children at risk. Our faith is put in a place of risk where we end up giving more of our time and our attention and our heart, really, to the things of the world and trying to keep pace with the world. So in that place of lukewarmness, of being nominal in the faith, there really is no spiritual power. And God can't, I mean, God can do anything he wants to do, but generally is not going to work through people whose hearts are not devoted to him. And so here we are at this radically challenging time, this tipping point, I think, in transition. And friends, we have every reason to rejoice in what we've been given in the gospel, in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Catholics ought to be the world's most joyful and free people, no matter what the circumstances are of your life. I mean, read the New Testament. Read the letters of St. Paul and Peter. These are communities that were under much more pressure than we are. Those are communities that they were very small minorities, very little power, influence, and in a hugely pagan culture that did not like what they were proclaiming, and that is that they were not going to bend the knee to Caesar. And so they paid a really high price. Friends of theirs were being martyred. People were being persecuted. It was very, very difficult to be a Christian and be identified with Jesus in many of those situations. And so it's in that context that we listen to Paul and Peter and others talk about the joy that they lived with. So for the Catholic and for the Christian, the circumstances of life simply can't be the determining factor of whether we're going to be able to walk in peace or whether we're going to be able to know joy. If we lose all that based on circumstances, that's just a revelation about the sort of the immaturity level of our faith. God wants more for you, so go after it. Go after God. He'll give you more. But in order to be attached more to God, we got to become more detached from the world. Doesn't mean we go off and live in monasteries. It means in our hearts, we're not attached, for example, to the consumeristic passion of this world. You know, the American drive to always have to have more, to possess more, to acquire more, and we get seduced by it because our identities are fragile. We're easily seduced to it because we're insecure and unstable, or we're just dominated by our own flesh in many ways, and we want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to stay ahead. We don't want to be left behind. And all of that means way too much to us. We need, friends, to make a break from that. St. John the Apostle talked about, you know, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is what? It's being driven by a desire for pleasure. Wow, that's a huge dimension of American culture today. A perpetual party, that's the point of life. Uninterrupted entertainment and fun is the point of life. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. What's the lust of the eyes? It's desire for wealth and riches. And the culture is set up in a way to feel like constantly, I got to have more money. Money's the ticket. It's the ticket to comfort. It's the ticket to freedom. It's the ticket to influence. It's I'm missing out. Look at the people with money, how much they can do and what they can have. And I don't have anything like that. And you begin to feel like my life is just empty. I don't have what I need. And tremendous discontent and despair can settle into the human heart. And thirdly, it's the pride of life. What's that? Honors, riches, fame. I got to have it. You know, the Harvey Weinstein story, I don't know if you've seen, it's hard to miss because last month it was all over the place. Probably the biggest visible Hollywood mogul and radically secularized guy who his very, very perverted lifestyle was revealed. And so, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg for Hollywood. It really is. And God's going to continue to expose all this. It began with exposing the sins of the church, and now it's moving to the world. And a lot of the corruption of the world is going to be revealed. It's going to come down on our heads, just like it came down on the head of many in the church today. And God does it because he loves us and he needs us. But you see how people connive with sin, how many Hollywood actors lined up and admitted, and some refused to admit, but so many people knew what he was doing, but they didn't want to say anything. Why? Because they believed he held the ticket to the thing that they most wanted in this life. Success, fame, adulation, money, all that stuff, right? And so I don't want to jeopardize that. So I'm going to look the other way. I'm going to be quiet. All the time posturing themselves that they're the great defenders of these kinds of things, right? And what is revealed is just a gigantic hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of the human heart. Friends, that's the condition of the human heart that's not repentant, yours and mine as well. I'm not just isolating them. I'm just saying we're now living in a world that's running in that direction. And people are beginning to, it's a kind of snowball effect that happens, and we start conforming ourselves to the world. That's why St. Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, we of all people are to be a people of hope, a people filled with joy and confidence, and most of all, certainly not surprised that the world is chaotic, confused, disruptive, and no friend of Christ. It's a fallen world, and we can't fix the world. We're called to serve, love, love neighbor, bring them to Christ, care for the poor, all of that. But friends, Christ is going to eventually fix the world. We're not going to fix the world. It's not our mission to perfect the world and present it perfect to Christ. We're never going to be able to do that. We're called to love, to obey God and to love, to worship God, to obey Him, to love God and to love our neighbor, and leave the rest to Christ. That's what we're called to do. We can do that. We can do that. Parents, I ended the program yesterday. I'm sympathetic. I'm a parent and a grandpa now. And I know how hard it is to raise children in the contemporary culture today. Dads, many of you feel spiritually like a fish out of water, and you, in a default mode, put the spiritual formation of your family in the hands of your wife. It's a two-team thing, man. It's a team effort. It's not just dad. It's not just mom. You're called together to image God and to lead your family. And in a situation like we're facing in the world today, it can feel overwhelming. And you can feel inadequate, and maybe, friend, you are inadequate because you yourself have not put Christ at the center of your life. You're not living in a way that puts God as your first love. God's not your first love. If you want to lead your family, if you want to bear fruit, and I'm even speaking if your family's in chaos right now, the first step is what I ended the program with yesterday, is to follow the teaching of the angel of Fatima, who came to these three simple children. And God used the children as a message to the whole world. And I see the message still echoing to say, what's the answer to a world that's reeling and in rebellion against God and filled with chaos and the culture of death? What's the answer? It's not more money. It's not more Hollywood. It's not more hiding and distraction. It's God. God is the answer. And turning to God. Okay, how do you do that? Start simple. Dad, if you haven't been there, repent. Get before God and get on your knees like the angel showed these children and ask God for forgiveness and say, God, I believe in you, my God. I adore you. I hope in you. I love you. And I pray for me and for my children, maybe, who don't believe in you, don't adore you, don't hope in you, and don't love you. If you want peace in your family, follow the angel of peace. If you want peace in your family, listen to Our Lady, who Jesus has sent to tell us the way forward. It's hard because we're proud, but it's not complicated. It's simple. Do that and watch what God does in your life. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.